last week we were talking about the issues of chatzitzas relates to nails. So we said that there are two different issues. One issue that appears in the Mishnah, Sefta, about dirt under the nails being a possible chatzitza. So here we assume it depends what the dirt is. If the dirt is, it's called keneged habasam, it doesn't protrude, the nail is not protruding past the end of the finger itself. So we assume people probably not so machmen on that, the small degree of dirt. Because as long as nails, the dirt is protruding out, the dirt is putting out, that would be more of a problem. So that's one of the reasons why the Shem write that we don't want to take any chances in terms of chatzitzas on the dirt and the nails, and therefore the minhag Yisrael is that the women cut the nails before they go to the mikvah, therefore we in a sense circumvent the entire question. Then there's another factor why women should cut the nails before going to the mikvah. That's the issue we quoted in the name of the Ravan, the Shachot from one of the Ravan, who says that the nails themselves can be a chatzitza if they're very long. If the nail is due to be cut, and the woman just didn't get around to cutting it yet, so that itself poses a problem. That itself is considered to be a chatzitza. And that's another reason why the woman should always be mapped to cut the nails before going to the mikvah. The question becomes, what if a woman didn't? So what would that halacha be if a woman's not cutting her nails? So Reb Chaim Moser has a tshuva where he writes that there was someone who didn't want to cut their nails, they wanted to have long nails, they would come to the mikvah. This is back in the 1920s in Vilna, exactly, you know. This is not New York City of the 2018. 100 years ago, so Reb Chaim Moser said, we already had the problem. The women didn't want to go, a lot of women didn't want to cut their nails. So the question is, should we make a big fuss about it? So Reb Chaim Moser writes, we should tell them they should cut their nails, but at the end of the day, we should let them go even without cutting their nails. Since cutting the nails is only a minute anyway, if the nails are clean, so we don't want to discourage a person too much, because then they may turn around and not use the mikvah altogether. So you have to be careful that we want to encourage them to do it properly. At the end, it's not a real din, not to put too much pressure on. So there is a big machlokes poskim about what's the din. If a woman realizes that Friday night she's about to go to the mikvah, and she realizes that she didn't cut her nails, so now what do you do? So to cut the nails in a normal fashion on Shabbos is out of the question. That's maybe Shabbos melacha d'oraisa of gozei, like shearing sheep. Mishnah says you're not allowed to cut your hair, not like your nails on Shabbos yontif. So what would you recommend for this woman to do? So there's on page 48. There's a big one like it's the shach and the taz. So the he writes number 13. Very end. Skip to the last two lines at the bottom. So the Taz, in my book number 13, has a whole discussion that obviously to let the woman cut the nails herself, that's out of the question. Even to let the woman cut the nails based on a non-Jew, it would also be out of the question. So he writes, the more correct thing to do is, with two lines or three lines at the bottom, Shabbos v'yantif, lotis chakim klal. She shouldn't try to outsmart her, shouldn't try to come up with a kunst and have a goy do that. Don't do anything. Ella tenachar osam heitiv. She should rather clean them very, very well. Can't nearly borrow. Since he thinks that's never posha, that is the correct thing to do. And he says, for Isi Misha Shavag was there. He sees there is someone made a mistake. The tziva lachta beyond the goya will keep in yachta. And there are those who have a practice that they would ask a non-Jewish woman to come in Friday night or Yantav night to cut the nails, and he thinks that's not correct. What is so not correct? What's terrible about it? So I skipped the whole piece in the middle. So basically, what the Taz holds is as follows. There are two potential problems with having a goy cut one's nails for them. One is, as a general issue, whatever you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yontif, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do on your behalf. So if you would cut your nails, the Taz says it would be a nisid deraisa. So to ask a non-Jew to do a nisid deraisa for you, just for what purpose exactly? So he thinks that just because they have the clean nails, the whole short nails only are minigs in the chumra anyway. So you're trying to be yaitzeh, a minig Yisrael, and you're violating an outright isser, really yachim. That's his first concern. Then he has a second concern. He says, this may be more serious than just an isser derabban of a really yachim. This may be a shavah deraisa here. Why is it a shavah deraisa? Because you're helping out as well. When the non-Jew is cutting the nails, so you're maneuvering your fingers, you're positioning yourself in such a way that the cutting is done nicely. So he says, that's a shiloh, what's called Masayeya, and that may be an actual issa d'oraisa. So the Taz says, it's a disaster. Don't even dream of having a non-Jew cut the nails. You're losing on two fronts. You're losing with the Rabbanon, you're violating the Yaakov. Number two, you're violating a potential issa d'oraisa. So the Shach disagrees with this. So the Shach, the bottom piece in the Kudus HaKesem, the Shach wrote his responses back to the Taz's Chidushim. So the Shach wrote the Nekudas HaKesef. So basically, the gist of the Nekudas HaKesef is that the whole premise of the Taz is not correct. The Chilub Yatzel. First of all, there's no Issa Deraisa here altogether. Why is there no Issa Deraisa? Because this is what's called the Malacha She'ina Tzricha Lagufa. There's a principle of the Chashavis that if I do a Malacha and I'm not interested in the type of result, and my goal, my motive is not the same as was done in the Mishkan, even though I'm doing the exact same action as was done in the Mishkan, that by definition cannot be a deraisa. So for example, the Mishnah says that if I carry something on Shabbos, not because I want the item, but rather because I want to get rid of it, I want to remove something out of my house, something smells, something's dirty in my house, and I want to take it outside to the street. So the Mishnah says carrying that item into the street would only be an issur derabanan according to the most Rishonim of Paskin. That's called the Malacha She'ina Tzricha Legufa. I'm doing a Malacha, I'm intending to what I'm doing, but I'm doing it for a different purpose, and therefore it's not similar to Mishkan, it wouldn't be a Deraisa. So the Shach argues, and he says, that when a person cuts nails, so is that a Malacha Tzricha Legufa, or is that a Malacha She'ina Tzricha Legufa? In the Mishkan, when they didn't cut nails, the Mishkan, they sheared sheep. So when they cut the wool off of the sheep, so they did it because they wanted to use the wool. The goal was to use the wool. Here, the goal was not to use the nails. If for some reason you're going to do something with these nails, I'm not sure exactly what you would do. If you're going to use these nails for something, that would be an issur deraisa. But here, you're not going to use the nails. You're just trying to get rid of the nails. So the Shach says he doesn't think that would be an issur deraisa altogether. There's a Mishnah Berurah, there's a long Be'alocha in the Shabbos, where the Be'alocha, the Shach halfway, he says that if a person is cutting their nails because they want to look nice, they want to beautify their fingers, they want to make themselves look pretty, he thinks that would be a deraisa. But if they're just cutting the nails to get rid of the nails, like in the case of the mikvah, they're cutting the nails, it shouldn't be a chatzitza, so then he thinks the Shach is right. So that's where the details of the Shabbos nuance. But fundamentally, be karon, the Mishnah Berurah says the Shach is right, that cutting nails just to get rid of them cannot possibly be a deraisa. If it can't possibly be a deraisa, so then when I ask a non-Jew to do it, that's what we call asking a non-Jew to do a derabanan. Ask a non-Jew to do a derabanan is permissible of a mokum mitzvah. That's what the Shach argues here. He says that the whole list of cutting the nails, even in the first place, would only be a derabanan. Even if it did it yourself, would be a derabanan. If you're having a goy do it for you, that's a derabanan on a derabanan. And you're not doing it stam for a manicure. You're doing it for the mitzvah, going to the mikvah. So he thinks that's a shvus to shvus of mokum mitzvah, and it would be permissible. Now, what about the second concern that the Taz raised, that you're helping, you're assisting with your fingers? So the Shach shows you, we spoke a little bit about the Shavuos night, the middle of the night, I don't remember if it was 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, yeah. So, I don't know, a lot of people here weren't here, those people were here, I'm not sure who was here, wasn't here at that time, but the bottom line is that the Shach argues that that's not a problem with Seyeh, that there is no problem with Seyeh and Shabbos, but a Malacha is being done to you, and even though you're helping a little bit, you're positioning a little bit, that's not really the Seyeh rights altogether with the Shabbos, and therefore there wouldn't be anything to be concerned with. So when all the dust settles, the Shach says, you can have the guy cut the nails for you, it's fine, it's okay, it's better to have the non-Jewish woman cut the nails for you rather than go to the mikvah with the long nails, which would be a violation of the Minhag Yisrael, it would be potential issues of chatzitza. So when all the dust settles, machlokes the gedolei of the poskim, what should the practice be, what should the protocol be on a Friday night, a Yom Tov night? The woman forgot to cut her nails, she wants to go to the mikvah now, what should we tell her to do? According to the Taz, we tell her clean them well and just go with long nails and forget about all the menhagim. And the Shach says, no, we should follow the menhagim, we should get those nails cut. But of course, they would have to be done a day, a non-Jew.
Why would the menhag overtake?
Because it's a shvus to shvus. So it's a shvus to shvus is mutter as long as there's any kind of a mokum mitzvah. So Shach says, it's a mokum mitzvah. The mokum mitzvah, the minig was instituted to avoid chatzitza concerns. So that's enough of a reason. We're doing it to accomplish the mitzvah tefillah to be done properly. So that's considered to be a shvus to shvus or mokum mitzvah. Then at the end, the Shach throws in one line where he says that if you want to know what he would honestly think the best thing to do is to knock it down to another derabbanan. How can you knock down anything to another derabbanan? If you do it, kiliach ayad. So he said, how do you cut your nails kiliach ayad? The Mishnah says, if you bite your nails, that's only derabanan, that's kiliach ayad. So he says that, this probably don't put it to practice, and he says, if you could ask the non-Jew to bite your nails, that would be better. So that would be a little bit better. But then he writes at the end, he doesn't know whether that's going to be practical, and therefore he says, we can go back to the real Pesach, and you can have them cut their nails with the scissors or, you know, the neck clip or something. So he does throw that line in for good luck, but then in the end, he himself realizes that that may not be so practical.
Is that a general
problem?
If you have trade derabanan, you try to make it
Because he's not 100% sure that he has a trade rabbanon there. Because the fact that cutting the nails is only the rabbanon is actually machlokes rishon, machlokes taisus, and some machlokes tzichuv. So he's trying if you would really truly have a real bona fide trade rabbanon, you probably wouldn't have to do any further.
Could be more make for bearish mushrooms? Yeah, Ben Ishmash is always a little bit more grounds to be made, because Ben Amir Liakam and Tzor Shabbos is always about the Ben Ishmash. I'd say, first I forgot to leave a light on something, the last get down to Ben Ishmash to do it. So you're right, that would mitigate things even a little bit more. The nice of the practice today, I think in most of the mikvahs is like the shach, that we will tell the woman that she should have somebody cut her nails for her. If it's impossible to find someone to cut, okay, so maybe we make it. But lechatchila, we try to find a non-Jew to cut the nails for the woman. The same way, I think we mentioned earlier, we spoke about chatzitzas in the hair. The Gemara says that the knots in the hair are considered to be a chatzitza. So very often, a woman goes to the mikvah and says, "Sitting at yontif or something," so she really hasn't brushed her hair out in 24 hours. So she may have knots in her hair. The poskim are maker that you can have a non-Jew brush out of hair for her. Because again, it's the same story. That it's probably only the Rabban anyway. It's the Rabban, not the Rabban, and the local mitzvah. And you say, yeah, is it really a problem? So you put all those pieces of the puzzle together, so it probably comes out to be mutter.
Is there a difference between hair and fingers? Fingers require, like an action, and hair is just...
No, I mean, that's the brush also. And again, there it's as far as look kind of brushing hair is probably even more cold than fingers.
Right.
With brushing hair, it's almost like a segregation. It's not even intending to get the, we don't want to get rid of the hair, we just want to brush out the hair, but even though we know inevitably some of the knots will come out. You're right, brushing the hair is probably even more lenient than
the
shani we always treat the shani the same. Yeah, we always treat it the same. We don't have any coolers to get the shani in any of these areas. Okay, so now we move on a little bit further in terms of other assorted issues related to chatzitza.
This kind of an issue, just saying, isn't there something like it's just you'd be nice to have my nails cut rather than cut them? Isn't there like
yeah. I mean, if you don't say it directly, maybe it's even more calm. Maybe. So we move on now to page 50. So we get to a discussion. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Mikvos. It talks about liquids, whether liquids pose a problem of being a chatzitza. So if we take a look at the third of the Marmakomos on page 50. So the Mishnah says that if something is still moist, something is liquid, so it's not a problem with chatzitza. So Tosfos in Masechet Chul explains why should this be so. So in the third of the Marmakomos, it's going to be Yayin v'chol v'lachin en chatzin, shederech ha-yayin ovrim ha-mayim al dufa adam yoselot tefillah. So Tosfos says it's just a practical issue, because the water gets through. The water goes, mixes in, gets under the other liquid, whatever it is, and it actually touches the body. So it's almost like another rough one. We spoke about this earlier. The woman has something very loose on. We spoke about the very loose jewelry. We spoke about even the loose t-shirts. Things of that nature, the water literally gets through. So then the Gemara says, the favorite, that would be okay. So it does its right. It's the same idea that if the water gets under the liquid, so that would be all right. So other Rishonim have a little bit of a different presentation than the fourth of the Ramakamos. So the Mordechai quotes Kasav Ha-Reim, quotes from the Sefer Yoreim. The Sefer Hodesnan Adam, Bad Yo, Yachol, Yuveshim, Chotzim, Lachin, Chotzim. That which the Mishnah says that if you have dry blood, if you have dry ink or something, so that's a chatzitza. Whereas if it's wet, it's not a chatzitza. V'tam hakpadahu, shala yavesh derech b'nei adam hakpin, v'alachin ein makpidin, v'al imakpin afil lachaitz. It comes to Sefer Yoreim and throws a curveball at him. He says, there is no absolute rule that a davalach is not chaitz. It's quite to tell us that the davalach, by definition, physically is not chaitz, because the water just gets under the davalach and nothing to worry about. So the Yoreim says, I don't know, it's not true, maybe the Mitzvah is not true. So why does the Mishnah say that the davalach is not a problem? The davalach, always by default, will always be a davashir amach, but people don't really care if they have some wet stuff on their skin. The question is, that may change. We've already seen chatzitzas change from time to place. When we first started learning the different chatzitzas, we pointed out that the Shulchan Aruch quotes a combination of either way can pose a chatzitza problem. If something is a davar amach for you personally, that's considered to be a chatzitza. Or if something is machmir for most people, even if you personally don't care about it, that's also a chatzitza. And those determinations, whether you're machmir, other people are machmir, are made, each case is judged on its own merits. So you can have something that in theory, bizman chazal, people are not machmir on, bizman chazal, people are not machmir on. So what would the case be? A person has some liquidy, some kind of liquid on their body, can we just say with a straight face today, oh, nobody's machmir, nobody cares about it. People just leave the liquids on their body. Not necessarily. So this din in the Mishnah, that a davar lach is not a davar chotz, it's altogether has to be reevaluated, as man is that whether it's true. So the most common application of this is blood. A person has wet, has moist, wet blood on the body. So you think you want blood, just wipe it off and go to the mikvah. So this is a big problem in the wintertime. You get the shadow all the time in the wintertime. People's hands are so chapped in the wintertime. I know for myself, the hands, the commandment, if you're walking around, they're bleeding, they're constantly bleeding. So a woman goes, she's getting ready to go to the mikvah, and she, her hands are mamish, they're cracked, the scent, there's mamish blood there. And she wipes her hands, washes her hands in the sink before she gets ready to go to the mikvah. She's about to go down, and she notices, oh my God, my hands are starting to bleed again. So she wipes them again. She comes back again. It's still bleeding. What are you going to do? So according to Tosfos, you can go to mikvah the way it is. According to Tosfos, it's a double lock. It hasn't dried, it hasn't kicked, it hasn't scabbed yet. So then it's fine. But according to the Mordechai and Urayim, that would be a potential problem. So usually what I tell the women to do is that they should wipe it, and then at the last second, they should polish. The little, it takes a little bit, it takes a second or two for the blood to start again. The last second, they should wipe it and then jump it and then keep the rest. Well, don't look too much and hope for the best. So, this shadow does come up sometimes. This shaila about liquids or liquids that are already dried, yes or no, being a chatzitza. So this plays out now in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos on page 50. On the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, where the Shulchan Aruch writes that. Fifth of Ram comes to Tseva. Shetzovos hadoshim al pneim yudeim v'sar roshan. He said if a woman puts some kind of a coloring, she puts some kind of a dye, some kind of makeup, either on her face or on her hands, on her fingers, or on her hair. So what's the din? So eino chaitzitz. So Shulchan Aruch writes that it's not considered to be a problem. That's not called the chaitzitz, which is really a pella, because based on what we said, it shouldn't be true. If the makeup is already dried, Tseva, the paint that she put on, either the nail polish or the makeup or the hair dye is already dried, so then it's not subject to the cool. We just said, what shot of this? Why should all of this all of a sudden become mutter? So the Rashba quotes a combination of reasons, which becomes very, very pivotal, the halacha ma'aseh. The Rashba quotes a combination of reasons why this din is true. The Shulchan is quoting right out of the Rashba. So one reason that the Rashba suggests is that this is almost like the antithesis of the rules of chatzitza. All the rules of chatzitza are working with the idea that I don't really want this item here. It's a davar hamachbid. Then you have to figure out how do you define machbid, machbid forever, for temporary, machbid for you, for me. All the nuances we spend so much time figuring out. Does the person not want it, and what exactly does that mean? Here, not only does the person double negative not want it, they dafka want it. And they dafka did it for the reason of lanoi. They did it to beautify themselves. They put on the makeup for a purpose. They put on the nail polish for a purpose. They put on the hair dye for a purpose. It's dafka to make, dafka to stay there, and dafka to make, to beautify the part of the body. So the Rashba quotes a possibility that maybe we have a new rule in halacha called kolin also eino chaitzitz. Whatever is done for the purpose of beautifying the body, maybe by definition, is just not even subject to any of the rules of Hilchos Chatzitza. So it doesn't matter whether it's a robe, it's a mitzvah. The whole issue is a moot issue. That's not called Chatzitza. It's called bottle to the body. Since it's there to beautify the body, it's part of the body, and we don't have to be concerned at all. That's one svara that the Rashba quotes. Then the Rashba quotes another svara. He says that there's a Gemara that he tucked away at the end of a Bekama. The Gemara is a very, very long, the Shishayla. The Gemara says, when you analyze a colored item, so it's really, it's this is like, I love this. I analyze here, I have a black suit. Stomach's black. Almost it's a black suit. I assume it's a black suit. So a black suit. But, so is pshat that I have a suit. I have a cheft. This is Gemara's chakir. It's not a chakir. Gemara's chakir. Is it a suit? The noun, the object's called a suit. All I have is one cheft. It's cheft of a suit. It happens to be, in the sense the adjective is, that it happens to be a black suit. So what happens, the color is black, but it's a cheftza, it's a one cheftza, the cheftza of a suit. It says, no, maybe the pshat is, there are two cheftzas here. There's the cheftza of a suit, and then something was in the suit that made it black. What made it black is there's a black dye, there's black coloring that made it black. So that black coloring at one time was a cheftza. At one time I had a bowl full of black dye. Now, I don't know exactly how they cut suits, but probably not that way. But when they take the black dye and they paint it onto the suit, so now I have two chafotzim here. Now I have two items here. It's very hard for me to separate between the two. They've all merged together. But up yidin, they're still considered to be two separate cheftzes. So Gemara is a lom to shayla. Gemara uses the phrase chazusa milsi or chazusa lav milsi. Chazusa means the matzal chazon, like the color and division. That which I see, is it milsi? Is it an entity? Is it a chetza? Is it a separate an object? And I can actually view it as two separate items? Or do I say, no, chazusa lav milsi, it just blends into the suit. It's no longer, it lost its identity, it now just becomes part and parcel of the suit itself.
Could it depend whether it gives chashivas to it or it's not related?
No, no, no.
Meaning
no,
that if it's a black suit and it's worth more and it has more chashivas, so whether or not you felt that way, maybe it adds value. But if it's a color that's, you know, just like anything else, or it's not valuable.
Okay, so that's more of a mockpit kind of a svara. So in terms of pure dinimamas, I don't know, I'm not sure. So the Gemara raises this shayla at the end of Bava Kamma. My nefka min in the end of Bava Kamma, who cares? The guy sitting and clearing a hakira about whether a suit is tuchafatz, mochafatzim. So the Gemara says, a chapsaf kamin is nuchas nezek, nuchas geneva. All kind of wild shaylas. The Gemara says, a shayla, one possible shayla, the Gemara says that it's hard to give a case even. But the Gemara finally comes up with one possible case that I have a suit that has to be. It's not dyed yet. It's not colored yet. And you happen to have a cup full of dye. You have a cup full of paint. And a monkey comes. The Gemara says, "Asi kof." A monkey comes and takes your dye and uses it to dye my suit. So now, do you have a tie against me? So the owner of the monkey is a hefker monkey. No one's taking the monkey to a din Torah. So the question is, can you take me to a din Torah? And can you say to me, "Mamoni kabach"? Clay b'din yamamras. If you're holding on to my money, whether you took it yourself or somebody else, if you're holding on to my chafatzim that belong to me, I have a right to get it back from you in Beis Din. Even whether it was your fault, not your fault, doesn't matter. You can't hold on to my property. So do you have a right to come and take me to the Din Torah and say, you, owner of this black suit, you're holding on to black dyes. You have my black dyes and you're a shus and you owe me money for that. So granted, it's going to be very hard to get those dyes out of the suit, but pay me the value, whatever the value of the dyes were. Or is that not a time at all? That's not called my money, Gavach. That's not called my money's by you. I say to you, I don't see any black. There's a suit. There's only one chatzir. It's a suit. It happens to be the suit is colored black, and I didn't have to pay for it because some monkey did me a touch. So your loss, not my loss. So the Gemara is a very, very long Shishan. I think there's a few other possible nafkaminas to the Shishan. So comes the Rashba, and Hukh's neat, and he says, oh, that Gemara is important for us also. Why? Because we have the Paschal Chazus Alav Milsa. That the dye, it doesn't count. It doesn't register. It doesn't mean anything, the dye. So since the dye doesn't really have any significance to it, so then one can argue, it's not here. The Torah Chotzit is only if halachli it's here. If it's not here, it's not here. So therefore, says the Rashba, if you have paint on your face or nail polish, or you have dye in your hair, so none of this is a problem with chatzitza for two reasons. So first of all, it's not a problem because it's called an oso in a chotzitz because it's beautifying the body. And number two, it's not a chatzitza because it doesn't really exist up here because chazus alav milsa. So the combination of those two svaras, so the Rashba says it's okay. So there's a fascinating comment by the Bir HaGra. Take a look on page 50. So the Gra says, I'll bring you a raya that what the Rashba says is correct. A raya for the Rashba, the Shulchan Aruch, that svar is right. So comes the Bir HaGra and says, and Marmachom, to the end of Marmachom number 5, so the Gra says, V'raya mi paroches, the raya from the paroches in the base of Mikdash. She had savuot cheles v'agama, v'chule, but bilan also, what's called sovshkoron? If the parochas every once in a blue moon we become tamei. So if the yontif they would tovel the parochas to make sure this the case became tamei. How can you tovel the parochas? Isn't the dye of the parochas a davar chaytzeitz? That should be a davar mafsik. It should ruin the tefillah on the parochas because the parochas is colored. So what do you see from here? Says the Gra that just something that's colored is not a chatzitza. Why not? Two reasons: either because of kol also in a chaytzeitz, or number two because there's no milsa to it.
So again,
because
that's permanent.
Oh, so far be it from me to question the Haliga Gra, but or one could argue with the Raya on multiple grounds. Either it's that the after permanent, or maybe one could argue with the Gra. But that's what a parochas is. It's supposed to be that way. The Rabban Shalom said they're supposed to make the definition of parochas is such that it's like almost saying if I have a colored, let's say tefillas kelim, I have a colored dish or something, or a colored pot. So you tell me, that's made in the store, that's where it's supposed to be. So the coloring is a chatzitza. Somehow it doesn't sound right. Here, a human being is not created wearing nail polish and makeup. I'm not advocating, I'm not criticizing it. But Lamai said the starting point is a person is a person. A person is born without makeup on, without nail polish on, without the hair.
That's from Brooklyn.
What? Okay. Send you back to okay. So if the starting point is those kinds of things are not integral part of the human being, whereas the parochas, by sisa parochas tchelis v'agamantala, if it's not colored, so it's not a parochas. So it's hard to understand what the Gra meant in comparison. But whatever it is, whatever the Gra meant, didn't mean. But lemaisa the din shulchan aruch stands that the dyes and the colors are not really considered to be chatzitza. So the later achronim have machlokes that we accept the din in Shulchan Aruch. We accept this din in Shulchan Aruch that these things are not really chatzitzas. But the question is, which reason do we accept? Do we accept the first reason, the second reason, or maybe only the combination of the two reasons? what would the din be if one of the reasons would apply and the other reason wouldn't apply? So let's say, lemashal, what if you have something that's lenaoso? It's there, mamash, to beautify the body, but you can't say it doesn't have mamashes to it. It's not like chazusa lav milsa, which is, I can't touch the dye. What would the din be if a woman wants to go to the mikvah with something on her nails? It's very, very much to beautify the nails. On the other hand, you can't hide behind and say it's Eva Mamish. She has fake nails on. She has all kind of, again, I'm not holding all the nuances, the details of this, but she has something on her nails that's clearly mamashos. I can touch it, I can feel, of course, mamashos. But on the other hand, she says, but it's really, I just spent $200 for it. So you get a tabik tapir. It's very pretty. So what would the din be? So if you go with the first svar of the Rashba, so then Niku din would be okay. Because Kalma also had a chazit, it's also to make it beautiful, and it's okay. If you go with the second tzad, that it has the only time the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch Menkel is because there's no mamashas to it, so here there would be mamashas. So it's not clear what the din would be under those circumstances. What about the other way around? What if a woman has something on the body that's clearly no mamashas to it? On the other hand, it doesn't look so nice. So she has, let's say she has nail polish, let's say assuming the nail polish has no mamashas. Figure out whether that's even true, Bisman is there. Let's say the nail polish has no mamushes. On the other hand, it's chipping away, it's cracking away. It doesn't look very nice. She's not very happy the way it looks. She's going to go get it fixed, by tomorrow. Well, let's say a woman dyed her hair. So the dye doesn't have any mamushes to it. On the other hand, she's not happy the way it looks. She's due to go get it. It's already starting to fade. And she's not happy the way it is. She wants to get it done, redone tomorrow. So that, then you would only have one of the reasons of the rash. But that's a question. The lady Achronim, is the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch only make it when you have a combination? Because we're not sure what the answer is. We know, like the Gemara says, the Parochah is not a chatzitza. So we know the final din is that nice, non-mamushes paints and stuff are okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. We're not going to argue with that. But we're not quite sure, is it reason one is the right reason, reason two is the right reason, only a combination of the two is the right reason, so we don't know. So therefore, the correct way to go from the Shailas is only to be make it when both factors are present. We don't want to take any chances of chatzitzas. So we will be mekel when you have a combination of these factors. Namely, it is lenaoso, and it's also ein bo mamish. If you only have one without the other, so then I would not tell women to be mekel. So I don't think that women should be going to the mikvah with these extended nails, with all these nice, pretty nails. I don't think that's right. I'm not saying that those who go are not yotei tefillah. I'm not going to say that either, because according to some achronim, the reason of Kol Na'oso stands on its own 2 feet, so you know, there are some Rabbanim who have to make this cheshbon, that the same way Rabbi Chaim Oizer had to make a cheshbon back in Vilna 100 years ago, that if you discourage the women from going until they cut their nails, you never know, maybe they'll turn around and won't want to go all together. So each Rav has to know their community and see, if the woman goes, listen, Rabbi, if you don't let us go with that long, gelled nails, all this kind of cuts him, so we're not going to mikvah. Rav has to, they may not verbalize that way, but Rav and his community has to make the assessment whether that's something to be concerned with. So again, the finish is that if a woman comes and asks me, can I go to the mikvah with gelled nails? I would say no. I would say she should get them removed again and finish, and don't set up the nails in such a way that poses a problem like that. But those Rabbanim who are looking the other way on some of these things, so they have a little bit what to rely on. They're relying on this half the Rashba and half the Shulchan Aruch, which again, according to some post give, would be okay. When you have the opposite channels, when you have, let's say, things that are not so nice, but there's no real mamushes to them, so also we're not so comfortable with. Let's say if a woman goes with nail polish, so we wouldn't want a woman to go to the mikveh with nail polish on. Sometimes the nail polish is cracking, sometimes we're not sure, sometimes our nail polish may have a little bit more mamushes, it's hard to know what the texture of the nail polish was, not that the rishonim was, I don't know. Therefore, the correct practice in all these things is that one should not go to the mikvah any of these kinds of questionable things. So you don't go with the long gel nails, you don't go with the long nails, you don't go with the nail polish. None of this stuff should be accepted. If you have situations, unique, extenuating circumstances, case by case, then you can discuss it. The common application of this is the woman wants to dye the hair. So again, all of these rules still apply as well. So if the woman wants to dye her hair, and if the dye is looking nice, and she just got it dyed, it still looks nice. So it's called also in chutzitz, as well as the fact that dyeing hair really has no mamushes to it at all. So that's probably the one case where you probably do have both reasons that really do apply. So the ikamikur, then it's okay. You have this case by case. If a woman comes, it depends on the questions asked. If a woman says to me, Rabbi, I'm dying my hair, what do I do about the mikvah? We're not negotiating to dye the hair. Dye my hair anyway, what about the mikvah? So I would say that just make sure that it's up to par, that it looks nice when you go to the mikvah, that way it shouldn't be a chashash or a chatzitza. The woman wants to know, should she die or not die? It's a loaded kind of a question. I don't want to give you an absolute answer to that question. But Lemaise, if a woman is dying here, as long as she's careful to make sure that the dye is up to par, so then the ikra at the end, that would probably be okay.
Well, what about who has that cracked skin, constantly bleeding? So it would be okay for her just before put on a colorless cream which prevents bleeding and cracking because it really is clear, no mamashos, and she wants it there because it's helping to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, but the cream doesn't, mamashos doesn't just mean color, mamashos means you can feel it. That's also mamashos. Put in a cream. So unless the cream gets absorbed very quickly into the body, it's not really, you can rub your hand.
It's moist. That's a
problem. I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would just have her literally stand in the mikveh right before. Have her wipe off whatever blood's in the mikveh, just go in. And that's why I tell women to do under those circumstances. There is a whole discussion based on a Mishnah in Maseches Megillos about, we have a situation where a person cannot go into the mikveh by themselves. Now we have different lifts, that kind of stuff to help women. So we have a woman, mamash can't walk, so she has to have somebody help her along. So the question is, when the person is holding the woman in the mikveh, that may be Eilcha Chatzitza Gdol Mitzil. And if I'm holding the person's body, so now the part that I'm holding on to is not getting the water from my hand, to the potential problem of Chatzitza. There's a whole mission of Seth Mikvahs that talks about that problem. Ochez, the Adu V'Kelem, at the time that they're going to the mikveh. There's a machlekes acharonim whether this is an issue of chatzitza or it may even be a more serious issue of chatzitza. Some acharonim write that maybe this is worse than a chatzitza because maybe if I'm holding on to something and I'm out of the mikvah, so we always view it like I'm part of the other person and it's like part of their body is out of the mikvah. So part of the body out of the mikvah, part of the hair out of the mikvah, that's a disaster. If a person is totally submerged under the water and there's a little part that's just a little chatzitza, so then the worst is going to be is that they're abundant. So a woman goes under the mikvah totally with every piece of hair goes under the mikvah, but there's a little chatzitza on one of the hairs, that's not a disaster. It's not good, it's a double machmir, it's a problem, but it's a curse, it doesn't disqualify the tefillah d'oraisa. If part of the hair doesn't go under the mikvah water, that's the biggest disaster. That's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, a woman cannot go to the mikvah without somebody watching her. Because if she goes to the mikvah and nobody's watching, so how in the world are they going to know that the hair didn't go under the mikvah? Unless she doesn't have any hair. She followed that practice we spoke about last week. She shaves her head in those communities, and then technically she goes to the mikvah with nobody watching. If a woman has hair, so then how in the world is she going to even know whether the hair totally went under the mikvah? So having part of the body, part of the hair, out of the water of the mikvah, that's a much more serious problem than a chatzitza. That invalidates the tefillah on the love of their Isa. Some achronim have a chiddush that when someone's holding on to you, and unless they're going under the water with you, so it's almost like that part of the body that's being held onto is somehow out of the mikvah. It's not that it's a chatzitza, it's mamash out of the mikvah itself. That's a big chiddush. That would disqualify the tefillah of their Isa. So whether it's a problem their Isa or their abundant, how do you solve the problem? So the Mishnah, Maseches Megillos, gives two different ways of solving the problem. One way to solve the problem is if you hold on very, very loosely, and it comes a double rough way, that the water gets under. It's like the woman going in the t-shirt, the woman going with loose jewelry. So the water gets underneath between your hand and the person's body. That's one eighth that the Mishnah talks about. And the other eighth that the Mishnah talks about is if you wet that part of the body beforehand, so then you already have water there. So the woman, someone has to hold on to her arm. So she sticks her arm into the mikvah first, and now that area is already full of mikvah water, and then somebody holds on, so when she goes under, so her whole body is going under the mikvah, because that part of the arm has water there anyway. So that's also considered to be going under the mikvah. So those are the two eights that the Tanoim discussed. So there's a big shaila in the Rishonim. Are both those eights is right? Is it a machlekes? Should we advocate one over the other? Do they work or not? So this is a dual application. First is the cases of if there's really a woman who needs help physically to go to the mikvah. So this shaila comes up. But the more common application of this is tefillas kelim. Because the Mishnah in the mikvah speaks about holding the kli in the mikvah cell. So unless you're willing to drop the kli in. If you drop the kli in, that's great. You just may not be able to get it out again. But if you want to hold on to the kli, to tandi, to tiling the kli, so then you have to worry about what happened to the chatzitza. So the same Mishnah, Ochiz Badum Mikaelim, it's the same exact sugya. So we have a little to discuss of the Mishnah next week about how to go about practically doing some of these things, which is the eights are going to work, not work, and how to go about doing it. Again, it impacts of his tefillah for tefillah's nida, it impacts of his tefillah's kelim as well. And so for Mitzvah Shem next week, we should be able to finish that. We have a few, literally a couple of little odds and ends in terms of the bracha b'shas tefillah, some other new rites of tefillah. So we may finish it all next week, we do. Or maybe at the end of the summer, maybe before Yom Tov Chaper, in one or two more weeks, just to put the seema, and we have to do something about the post Yom Tov, but we'll worry about that. Okay, so we'll see how it plays out next week.